Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, June 19th, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Community, Summer Bounty, Farmers Markets Open for Season Indicator, by Linda Marjoram. The summer growing season is hitting its stride, and area farmers are prepared to share their bounty at Decatur markets. There are four Decatur locations on three different days offering a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as meat, crafts, baked goods, and other items. Some also offer a side of fun activities, food trucks, and information on community groups. This is where and when you can find them. Decatur Central Park Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays in downtown Decatur, June through October. Vendors offer a variety of seasonal fruits, vegetables, locally raised meats, baked goods, and handcrafted items. Good Samaritan Inn's Mercy Market, 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, June through October, at Preston Jackson Park, 337 North Water Street. Seasonal fruits and vegetables, much of it grown right here at Mercy Gardens, alongside goods from local farmers and vendors. Richland Student Farm, 4 to 6 p.m. on Mondays at Michael D. Andreas Agriculture Building at Richland Community College. Fruits, vegetables, meats, honey, soaps, artisan crafts, and more. There are vendors inside the building and in its parking lot. KC Fine's Farmers Market, 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, June through September, 2809 North Main Street, offering a variety of goods from local shops and farms. This article is accompanied by two full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned, Derek Baldessari, owner of the Little Farm, explains his plants to Sue Patterson and Nicole Cravens during the first farmer's market at KC Fines in Decatur on Tuesday, June 10th. The KC Fines parking lot will have the market every Tuesday throughout the summer. And the second photo is captioned, Kaysen Vortiz and Ray Sean Whiplow make bubbles at the kids' booth during the first farmer's market at KC Fines in Decatur on Tuesday, June 10th. The KC Fines parking lot will have the market every Tuesday throughout the summer. Illinois, courting emerging quantum technology. State starting to see results in $700 million industry investment, by Andrew Adams, Capital News, Illinois, Chicago. Just over 1 year ago, the Illinois legislature approved spending more than $700 million to attract and support a new industry, quantum technology. Now, representatives of other countries, federal research labs, and a network of private organizations with ties to the state are beginning to ink deals and make agreements to bring specific quantum companies to Illinois and boost the startups that are already here. Illinois state officials are interested in attracting the nascent industry because of its potential for economic growth and positioning Illinois as a high-tech leader in the coming decades. Quantum technology is an emerging field of research and business that creates specialized machinery and computers that use the laws of quantum mechanics to solve problems and behave in ways that would be out of reach for traditional machines. Last week, two events in Chicagoland offered a glimpse inside the world of quantum businesses and the layers of public and private funding going into the industry. The Japan External Trade Organization, an economic development organization affiliated with the government of Japan, sponsored a two-day delegation of business representatives to Chicago. At an early meeting of the delegation, representatives of the state and economic development agencies pitched the region and Illinois' state backing as unique in the world. This is not a state government that is following trends, but really setting the trends. Intersect Illinois Chief Quantum Officer Preeti Chalsani told the delegation, "When I go to conferences, I hear about other states and countries who are thinking of doing something like Illinois. That really makes me proud." Intersect Illinois is a private, nonprofit organization with ties to the state. It's led by Christy George, a former Pritzker administration official who helped plan the Democratic National Convention in Chicago last summer. The organization also plays a prominent role in the State Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities 5-year plan for attracting business to Illinois. This is a state that is constantly on a mission to constantly build and expand our business environment, George said at the event. Representatives of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, World Business Chicago, and the University of Chicago also participated in the event. The visit mirrored Governor J.B. Pritzker's and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's visit to Japan, where both men, along with sizable entourages of economic development leaders and business people, met with Japanese officials. Both visits, and especially Pritzker's in October 2024, built hype in the Asian nation about Illinois' role in the developing quantum technology sector. Pritzker is a self-professed quantum geek, and his personal interest in the emerging industry contributes to the state's interest in it. Over the 2 days the Japanese delegation was in Chicago, they toured several local quantum businesses, including QBraid, Inflication, and EuroQ, among other locations around the city. The DCEO and Intersect Illinois also hosted a reception for the Japanese delegation. The efforts from state and industry boosters appeared to be interesting to at least a few in the cutting-edge industry. As a pitch and networking event capping off the Japanese visit last week, several Chicago-based and Japan-based companies discussed their business models and strategies. One of the Japanese delegation members who pitched at the event, Quantum Data founder Yuki Nagasako, told Capital News Illinois, "The quantum industry in Chicago is very hot, especially compared to artificial intelligence tech hubs in California. When I say I work in quantum technology in the Bay Area, nobody knows. Nothing," Nagasako said. "But in Chicago here, everybody." Nagasako, whose company has offices in California and is currently in a fundraising round, said he's seriously considering expanding in Chicago. That event also featured a closed-door meeting between Japanese companies and officials at Psi Quantum, as well as other local companies. State Quantum Park. Psi Quantum is one of the jewels of the state's quantum crown. It is the anchor tenant of the Illinois Quantum and Microelectronics Park, or IQMP, a research park set to break ground later this year on Chicago's south side. The California-based quantum computing company was raising $750 million at a $6 billion valuation earlier this year, according to reporting from Reuters. Its last official valuation was $3.1 billion in 2021. That park is being built with $500 million in state funding, on top of $200 million in tax breaks and other incentives going to Psi Quantum directly. Harley Johnson, the University of Illinois professor who took over as the head of the IQMP late last year, said the singular focus of the research facility is to help scale up quantum computing technology. In some cases, it takes really specialized industrial-scale infrastructure, Johnson said last week. Johnson was speaking at an event at Argonne National Lab, where federal researchers and state-level quantum advocates discussed the state's future as the quantum prairie, a riff on California's Silicon Valley. There, he also laid the groundwork for what is expected to be a busy few months at the state's Quantum Research Park. "There are a lot of exciting announcements," Johnson said. "We're going to break ground very soon." In addition to PsiQuant Quantum, several other major groups have said they'll set up shop at the research park. 6 months ago, IBM announced it would build a quantum computer and research center at the park. About a year ago, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, announced it would base a quantum testing program at the park. 2 weeks ago, the IQMP also announced that Australian tech and quantum company Dirac intends to open a facility at the park. Dirac building and scaling their quantum operation at the IQMP is a testament to Illinois attracting the tech and security sectors, Pritzker said in a statement at the time. Dirac's commitment further cements Illinois' position as a global quantum leader and reflects the state's commitment to fostering innovation and economic growth. Dirac is one of nearly 20 companies that is participating in the first stage of DARPA's quantum testing program. "We've got others that will be coming on board soon," Johnson said in his speech last week. Politics. Buczynski's name found in Minnesota Suspects Notes by Brendan Moore, Springfield. U.S. Representative Nikki Buczynski's name was among those in the notes of the gunman suspected in the targeted shooting of two Minnesota state lawmakers and their spouses, she confirmed on Tuesday. Vance Bolter, 57, was charged with federal murder and stalking, along with state charges, following a nearly two-day search that culminated with his capture in the woods near his home, authorities said. He is accused of shooting and killing Democratic House Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark early Saturday morning. He is also accused of shooting Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, who are recovering from their injuries. In his social media post, Buczynski, a Democrat from Springfield who represents the 13th Congressional District, said that she was informed by Capitol Police on Sunday that her name was among the dozens of Minnesota state and federal elected officials in Bolter's writings. "I want to again send my condolences to the family of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark," Buczynski said. "I will continue to keep them, as well as State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, in my prayers. My deepest sympathies go out to their families, friends, and the entire Minnesota community. As I've said before, there is absolutely no place in this country for political violence," she continued. "We must be a nation that values civility and mutual respect, always." Buczynski declined further comment. Authorities said the writings contain the names of about 45 Minnesota state and federal elected officials, but have not identified them publicly. Members of Congress from several Midwest states said law enforcement told them that their names were in Bolter's writings. In addition to Buczynski, they included Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and U.S. Representative Emanuel Cleaver of Missouri. U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat Schaumburg, who represents Chicago's northwest suburbs and is a candidate for U.S. Senate, also confirmed Tuesday that his name appeared on the suspects list. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker told reporters in Chicago on Monday that his name was not included on the list. Authorities have not provided a motive for the shootings. Buczynski took office in 2023. She represents Illinois' 13th Congressional District, which stretches from East St. Louis to Champaign-Urbana, picking up Springfield and Decatur in between. The Associated Press contributed to this report. "Man Who Drove Away from Fatal Crash Gets 5 Years" by Tony Reed, Decatur. As Decatur mourns the death of a 12-year-old boy killed in a collision with a driver allegedly driving drunk, the driver in another fatal city crash involving alcohol was sentenced to 5 years in prison Tuesday. Brandon T. Blue, 41, had been charged with aggravated DUI involving a fatality among multiple traffic offenses in the September 27th death of 52-year-old Decatur bicyclist Richard R. Brandt. But Blue took a plea deal that saw him admit a charge of failure to report a crash and was sentenced for that offense when he appeared in Macon County Circuit Court. Presiding Judge Thomas Griffith had earlier agreed to dismiss the DUI charge, along with further counts alleging another count of aggravated DUI, as well as charges of driving while revoked, failing to render aid, the illegal transportation of alcohol, and failure to reduce speed. Blue's appearance in court followed on the heels of Monday's arraignment of Hassan J. Woods, 45, whose car collided with a bicycle ridden by Kavari Drisdell, inflicting fatal injuries on the child. Police reports from the scene of Sunday's crash at the intersection of North Van Dyke and West King Streets said Woods' alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit for driving. He faces a charge of aggravated DUI involving death, among other charges, and has yet to enter formal pleas. Prosecuting in the case of Blue, Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Christina Mullison acknowledged the DUI charge had now been dropped, but she noted the defendant has two previous DUI convictions and alcohol had been found in his vehicle on September 27th. Blue was also captured on surveillance tape buying tequila both before and even after the fatal collision. If you look at the facts as well as the pre-sentence investigation, I think there is a clear assumption here that alcohol or substances probably played some sort of role in this occurrence, Mullison told the judge. She also noted that Blue had driven away and left his victim bleeding in the street next to his crumpled bicycle. Someone has died and the defendant did not stick around to potentially render aid in this case, Mullison said. The plea bargain capped any sentence at 6 years, and the prosecutor urged the judge to impose the maximum punishment. Blue had earlier told the judge he wanted to apologize. I would like to say to the court and say to Mr. Richard Brandt's family that I am truly and deeply sorry for what happened, he said. Defense attorney Lindsay Evans pleaded for leniency and said probation would be a more appropriate penalty for Blue. She said her client had both alcohol and substance abuse issues and had not enjoyed an easy life. She said those addiction problems had worsened when his 43-year-old brother, Damian T. Blue, was murdered in June of 2022. I think we often overlook the ripple effect of crimes, particularly ultra-violent gun crimes, and I think what often gets overlooked is what happens to the family that is left behind, Evans said. Passing sentence, Griffith noted Blue's personal history and his acceptance of guilt, but he said probation was not a suitable punishment. It is very significant to the court that an individual here lost their life. I am sure Mr. Brandt's family suffered, although there is nobody here today. The side of the courtroom where the victim's relatives normally sit was empty. That contrasted with benches lined with Blue's family members who were given a chance to say their goodbyes to him before he was led away to start his sentence. Man gets 45 years for callous murder by Tony Reed, Decatur. Tremarion D. Howell was sentenced to 45 years in prison Wednesday for firing 7 bullets into a man in what a judge described as an absolutely callous murder. Howell, 21, had shot 65-year-old Decatur man Darrell D. Kuhn in his home on April 15, 2024, after accompanying an accomplice there who had sold the victim methamphetamine, prosecutors said. That accomplice, John E. Inman, 41, is quoted in Decatur Police Department sworn affidavits as saying Howell had seen Kuhn had money and decided to rob him at gunpoint. Murder charges were dropped against Inman as part of a plea agreement in which he pleaded guilty to a charge of obstructing justice by destroying evidence. He is due to be sentenced June 24th. Howell had earlier faced additional charges of attempted murder and robbery after prosecutors accused him of shooting a 21-year-old Decatur man in the head 2 weeks after the murder on April 29, 2024. But those charges were later dropped after the office of the Macon County State's Attorney ran into problems with getting key witnesses to appear in court. Those problems included issues with the victim who barely survived his injuries. That wounded victim's mother delivered a victim impact statement before Wednesday's sentencing. She said her son may lose his eyesight as a result of his wounds, and continuing medical complications threaten to shorten his life. Summing up his views of both the murder and what he described as the attempted murder, even though those charges were dropped, Judge Thomas Griffith told Howell, in the court's opinion, these were just both absolutely callous, senseless, brutal offenses. Decatur Crews Battle Early Morning House Fire by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Members of the Decatur Fire Department battled a house fire early Tuesday morning. According to a news release issued by Deputy Chief Toby Jackson, crews were contacted at approximately 4:36 a.m. Monday to the report of a house fire at 603 East Garland Avenue, Decatur. Upon arrival, crews found heavy fire coming from the rear portion of the house, Jackson said. The first engine stretched a line to the rear and found the residence to be unsecured. The fire was quickly extinguished. After searches of the house were completed, firefighters found no one was inside the residence. The Decatur Fire Department Fire Investigation Unit is investigating the fire. New State Laws to Go into Effect July 1st by Meredith Howard, Belleville News Democrat, Springfield. While the new year typically brings the bulk of new laws to Illinois, a few new or updated pieces of legislation will go into effect Tuesday, July 1st as well. New laws that went into effect New Year's Day in Illinois included new protections against discrimination in the workplace, updates to the state's child labor laws, pay equity for workers with disabilities with a later enforcement date, and an increased minimum wage. Here's what to know about new and updated legislation in Illinois that will go into effect this July, including provisions aimed to benefit the environment and more. Naloxone availability. The act also says state employees who administer an opioid antagonist in good faith, following regulations as described by the law, will be exempt from any civil liability related to their use. Narcan and naloxone, which can reverse opioid overdoses, have been available over the counter in Illinois since 2023. Gas tax increase. The Illinois motor fuel tax will increase July 1st from 47 cents per gallon to 0.483 per gallon for gasoline and from $0.545 per gallon to $0.558 per gallon for diesel fuel. The new increased rate is set to be in effect through June 30, 2026. Illinois' motor fuel tax law dictates the tax will increase each year on July 1st in accordance with inflation. Hints from Heloise. Avoiding odors in the washing machine. By Heloise. Dear Heloise, just wanted to mention that I always leave the top open after washing clothes for at least a day to make sure the machine dries out. This way, I avoid any bad washing machine odors. It's never a good idea to close up anything that is wet or moist inside. Liz Nass via email. Finding your car. Dear Heloise, I wanted to add on to the discussion about finding your car in a parking lot. I always pick a parking spot near an easily recognized landmark, like a light pole with a number on it. If this is unavailable, I take a look at my surroundings and pick another type of landmark, a sign of the business, a clump of trees, etc., that can help me narrow down my search. I also take a quick picture of the area around my car. Jim Schlakek in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Garage sale hint. Dear Heloise, making a garage sale more enjoyable was a topic in a recent column. During the third day of her yard sale, my daughter put up signs saying, "Donations only today." And all money donations went to a local cat rescue organization. She made a considerable amount for her cause. Gail Powell via email. Cleaning coffee carafes. Dear Heloise, in response to Gail in Ohio, who cleans her coffee carafe with stain remover powder, I prefer to use a couple tablespoons of sugar with a little bit of water, then wipe the inside with a paper towel. The sugar causes soft abrasion, cleans the glass fast, and is very safe. Gina Seaton in East End, Arkansas. Why didn't I think of that? Dear Heloise, my husband, who is now retired, came up with a couple of ideas I'd like to share. I used to cut olives up by hand until he suggested that I use an egg slicer. I can put 4 or 5 olives in at a time. When picking up or delivering hot foods, heat up the inside of an insulated bag with a hairdryer first. Kathy B. in Ohio. Getting creative in the kitchen. Dear Heloise, yesterday, I baked a boxed devil's food cake. In place of the required 1 cup of water, I substituted coffee from breakfast. After it was baked, I removed the 13-by-9-inch cake pan from the oven and immediately sprinkled chocolate chips all over the top of the cake. In no time, the chips melted, so I spread them with my spatula to make frosting. I even added walnut bits to complete the creation. Marilyn K. in California. Is this fried? Dear Heloise, your reader should be aware. If an item on a menu is described as crispy, crunchy, browned, breaded, or golden, you can bet your bottom dollar it's fried. Dolores in Dallas. A clean blender. Dear Heloise, my sister told me just to squirt dishwashing liquid in my blender and pulse it a couple of times. Then, voila! You'll have a clean blender. This is okay, but every other week I like to take the blender completely apart, scrub it with a bleach cleaner, and let it dry thoroughly. Tiny seeds and other residue can get stuck in there, so a deep cleaning is necessary. Marie in Ohio. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review dated Thursday, June 19th, 2024. Please stay tuned.